Where are we? We're going to do the technology in summary this morning. You know that we've been talking about coping in tough times, engaging in tough times, not just coping. And we have David talked about social action, about spurring one another on to good works. Then we talked about the pressures on attendance, and goodness me, has that been a matter of discussion around. Then we talked a bit about, what did we talk about? We talked about the fact of standing with brothers and sisters, empathising and entering into and supporting, fellowshipping. We did that section. Then we talked a bit about money, because there's been a dynamic with that, negative dynamic as well, for all sorts of reasons, and there's no particular reason why that should have become a pressure. And then David went to the end of the chapter, because we were syncing it with the teens sessions, and talked about the fact that under these circumstances, there was a danger of pulling back. At least there was in the first century, that people shrink back. And shrinking back is the opposite of perseverance and confidence and hope and faith. And then Rosie started to push the envelope and go back in the scriptures into Romans, and brought out a lot of parallels between Romans and Hebrews. And she talked about Ephesians, and by grace have you saved, are you saved? And even that doesn't come from yourselves. It is the gift of God. So, if you read those end passages that David and Rosie dealt with, you get this. Where? Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And then it quotes from Isaiah 26, I think. In just a little while, he who's coming will come and will not delay. And then it quotes from Habakkuk, but my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. So the technology here is this. The goal is that we persevere. We persevere so that we receive what he has promised. So we've got up here the promise of God. Okay? And we need to persevere to get there. And I've been reflecting on a little bit in that passage where it says that after you have done, after you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I don't know whether any of you are like me, but waiting is really difficult, particularly in the spiritual realm, because I find myself coming back and saying, well, Lord, I did this that you told me, and I did this that you told me, and I did this that you told me, and it still hasn't happened. Is there anything else I should be doing? And then I get up the following day and I think, is there anything else I should be doing? And you know, I'm a very haphazard, very random journaler, but I can look back in my journal and find that question coming up sometimes. And sometimes the most difficult thing is to say, Lord, I have done all I can. It is now with you, and I'm going to persevere, putting one foot in front of the other in faith, and it's over to you. Okay, so perseverance is a big thing. Now, if you're going to persevere, you can only persevere if you've got confidence. Okay? Sportsmen persevere because they have confidence that they can do it. They can get to the end, they can succeed. And even though to a rational person, you know, there is only one gold medal per event at the Olympics, these guys don't seem to believe that. They seem to believe that they can leap over ridiculous barriers and keep on going because they are full of confidence. Now, I'm not going to do the link here at the moment, but there's obviously confidence feeds into hope. So I'll put that in little letters because we haven't got time to do that. Now, at the end of the chapter, it talks about here in this quote from Habakkuk, it says, "My righteous one will live by faith." That's one of the things I'm going to look at over the next few weeks, is the connection between the word righteous and just and good, because they all mean the same sort of thing. But the good one, the righteous one, the justified one, will live by faith. And I remember the first time I heard this was, I think, from a guy called Bill Bright, who some of you may have heard of. He was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. And he visited the UK when Wendy and I were 19 and were on a spiritual development training thing for a month during the summer. And he said this, which to me, as somebody who was brought up on read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow, he said, "We do not live by prayer. We do not live by Bible reading. We do not live by faith." We live by faith. We don't live by Bible reading. We don't live by prayer. We live by faith. And that was a real shock to me as I thought about that. And he went on to say, of course, these things are good. These things provide a foundation. These things form us, although they wouldn't have used that vocabulary, I guess. But he said, if you get up one morning and you're late, there are people around who think, "Oh, I haven't read my Bible. I haven't prayed. I'm going to have a bad day." And sure enough, they have a bad day because they're living by Bible reading and by prayer. They're living by the observance of the law. But we live by faith. Okay, now, that's where that chapter ends up. And then in chapter 11, you get this. Now, faith is confidence. Okay, so it's come back through the cycle, and it says that there's faith in the mix here. Actually, I had a load of scripture verses there, but if I'd have looked up and seen them on the screen, then I would have been forced to talk about them in more detail. So it's probably just as good that they're not there. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Now, you all know chapter 11. It's a great chapter of Hebrews. It's because it's got this list of all these people. And it goes through, it talks about Abraham and talks about Moses and it talks about Deborah, I think. It talks about people who fought lions and it talks about people who suffered and died without entering in to what was there. But it doesn't finish it finishes by talking about faith, because then over in chapter 12, it starts by talking about, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Okay, now, when I'm doing something I'm not very good at, I do not like to be observed. So I'm not sure how much I find it an encouragement that Abraham is watching what is going on, Noah's watching what is going on, Deborah and Jael and the mother of the Lord Jesus is watching what's going on. And even worse than that, I believe that my mum's watching what's going on as well. Now, I don't know how the thought of having your mum watching what's going on affects you, but I know that for the last good few years of her life, my mother used to choose to sit in the back seat of the car. And I'm sure that it wasn't because she was scared of being in the front seat. It was so she could watch the speedo with more detail and give accurate and immediate feedback on going over when you were going over the limits. So there's a great crowd of witnesses, but the impression you get is that they're cheering us on, because it goes on to say, run the race that is set before you. So you've got this auditorium of people who have put their tracksuits or blankets on because they've done the race, saying, go for it, guys. We've done it. You can do it too. And we've got an advantage over those all those Old Testament people, because it says what in verse 2 of chapter 12? I'm not worried about getting this accurately. Anybody think about what it says about seeing that there's this great crowd of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us, putting aside all the burdens, all the constraints that hold us down, and it says, looking unto Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the perfecter, the leader. You know, it talks about author and finisher. Well, that word author is really leader. And I love it in the NIV because it says the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Here we are, Jesus. Okay, that's the technology. There's a promise to be inherited. We need perseverance to get there. You won't persevere unless you've got a hope and you've got confidence. But please, please, please don't think of this as positivity, right? This is not about visualizing yourself achieving what you want to achieve. This is based on faith. And even then there's a danger that we end up having faith in faith. Okay, faith in being certain. It gets to be a psychological thing. Oh, are you believing for it? Yes, I'm believing for it. What are you believing for? Oh, I'm believing that everybody's going to turn out right, and I'm going to be healthy, rich, and all those around me are going to be rich. Why? The fundamental is that we look to Jesus. Now, my plan is over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to take chance to be pretty random on a Sunday morning, but I can tell you this, I want us to talk about Jesus. And I want to do it in such a way that we just look to him. And it gets super simple. And my story of the last couple of weeks is this. When the wind started last Friday week, we got up in the morning and we'd had some interaction with our daughter who was saying it was a nice quiet day because she couldn't be in at school. It was her last day before she changed schools. And our grandson Thomas was saying, oh, it's a boring day, nothing's happened. Well, more or less as soon as he said that, I was downstairs and there was this almighty thump where the coping stone of the west end of our house, west end, it sounds like the west wing of our house, but the west end of our house landed on the log store. And I thought, oh no. And as the wind got stronger, I got more nervous because I thought about the wind getting under the tiles and beginning to increase. And it got to lunchtime. Now, since I've been really young, like 13, I've been dead keen on taking a nap after lunch, still do. I thought, oh, that's not good. This is going to spoil my nap if I'm scared about what's coming out the roof. And do you know what struck me at that particular time? Was, okay, Dave, this is where you test it. Here you are, you're in the boat with Jesus. Literally, there's a storm coming on. By the way, the lectionary reading for last Sunday was about the storm on the lake, I think, and walking on the water. And I found myself saying, okay, think about the story that we told the kids during lockdown. Jesus, I'm going to put this to the test. I'm going to try and do something very simple and say, Lord, let me sleep. Now, quite often in my house after lunchtime, it's really difficult to sleep because Wendy will bang around all over the place. And what is really worse is when Carol's there, because they stand in the hall and they shout as loud as they can upstairs. As ex-teachers, they seem to find it necessary to communicate to one another as though they were in the next room at least, if not the next place. But I found that on that occasion, God gave me sleep. Now, guys, I have to say that when I went upstairs and I put the pillow over my head, I'd got no confidence that that was going to happen. But, excuse me putting it this way, that's the word that comes to mind, but it was magic. You know? Jesus, you're here. If the roof comes off, you're still with us. If the roof comes off and it lands on my car, you're still with us. And I slept. Just within 20 minutes, I would expect to sleep, but I slept. And whenever I get provoked to do this, I'm going to do it. I'm sure that it won't happen all the time, but fixing my eyes on Jesus seems to be like the great strategy. If I want faith, if I want to have increased confidence, if I want to have hope, if I want to persevere, if I want to receive the promise. Now, Dave's going to come up and talk to us, and he's going to link us back into the Evangelical Alliance research. And he's going to talk about something where this dynamic really matters, which is about sharing faith with our friends and neighbours.
Okay, so kick us off then. How about in pairs you tell each other about the last spiritual conversation you had with someone who doesn't follow Jesus? Now, we're not setting the bar very high here, so you don't need to have shared your whole testimony and led them through the four steps and prayed the prayer, and they're coming to Dayspring next week and they want to get baptized. Maybe it was just the first time they've heard that you are a Christian and that you follow Jesus. Or maybe you were in a conversation and you were able to give a perspective from the Bible on that conversation. Or maybe you got somebody who's struggling with life and you were able to say to them, I will be praying for you, or I would like to pray with you. Or maybe you had a scripture or an encouraging word for them and you were able to share with them. You say, I felt God gave me this for you, for your situation. So, 5 minutes in pairs. When was the last time you had a spiritual conversation?
He's got cold.
What sort of cold is it? A proper cold or a man cold?
I think I'll say a proper cold, just in case I now come down with it, then it will be. So Rolf knows a guy at work called Jordan, and we have brought him here a couple of times, once or twice. Rolf sort of got to know him through a music event at work, and conversation started following from that. And to the extent that Rolf has been able to talk to him about Jesus and bought him a Bible for Christmas, and as I say, has brought him here a couple of times. He lives in Swindon, so we are hoping to try and introduce him to a church closer to where he lives.
Yeah. Great, that'd be great brilliant. To try Patton Church.
Dave, you heard an encouraging story?
Encouraging story from Peter.
Okay, I'm just saying the opportunity, because Mary and I go a walk with a couple every few weeks or a couple of months, time flies by. But I just feel I've got opportunity there, having a chat with him, because of his background makes it slightly a lot easier, in that he had parents who were at least churchgoers I know of, I think they're dead now, but then I feel opportunity arises with him, and I'm sure that we've had one or two little conversations, and I'm praying for bigger conversations with him as time goes on.
Brilliant.
Thanks.
That's great. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Go on, Margaret.
You're being volunteered, Margaret.
Okay, one of the ladies across the road from me, who was very kind to me when Tone was doing strange things, but she came across and asked if I was a Christian because I'd been calm about it all.
Wow.
And she said, you know, she recognised that. And she'd obviously had some contact with Christians in the past, but wasn't one herself because she'd subsequently had got into fortune, well, yeah, some occult activity. Mm. But we are going to get together at some point because, but her husband's ill at the minute, so... But yeah, but we did say we would get together and talk more.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And it's often as we're vulnerable ourselves that people see something in us that actually sparks the conversation. Anyone else? No? Right, okay. Well, that's really encouraging to hear. So a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about barriers to faith sharing, and we came up with a list. It was had some overlap with the stuff from the Evangelical Alliance's Changing Churches survey, and I don't know how well you can read those at the back, but I have to say, looking at all of those, I have felt those at one time or another. So yeah, and then the next thing they looked at within the survey was that they were trying to find out how many people are still exploring Christianity and how people felt that the pandemic had affected that. So, as usual, you've got dark blue is pre-pandemic, light blue is autumn 2020, green is autumn 2021. And on the left, the first series of graphs is about the number of people approaching churches asking questions about the Christian faith. And you can see that during the pandemic, that's actually gone up. It's gone from 6 people to 6.3. Not quite sure what a third of a person is, but it's gone up, and it's encouraging to see. And then in the middle, you've got the number of people who are attending a course exploring Christianity. So I guess that's alpha or something. And that looks like that's dropped slightly, but you're sort of down from 7 people to 6. And we've seen that as well. Do you remember I interviewed Simon Halls, who works as a pioneering minister in Pinehurst in Swindon? And in the summer of 2020, I interviewed him, and he had had an alpha course running as the first lockdown started. And so they moved it online, and it carried on. And towards the end, a number of people from that alpha course started following Jesus. And they said, "This has been so helpful to me. Can you run another one? I want to invite my friends, my family, my neighbours." And so they started a second course. And out of that, I believe a third course has run. So there are churches that are seeing people are wanting to explore the faith, despite the concern that people have with those barriers to sharing their faith. And then on the right here, you've got the number of people who are making a first-time commitment to follow Jesus. And that's largely stayed the same at around 2 people. So I don't know how you feel when you see a graph like this. You know, one response can be, well, we're not seeing that. It's all well and good for them. It makes you want to give up. But I would suggest that we need to look at it another way and say, despite what we feel about the barriers to faith sharing, there are people out there who are very interested in finding out more about Jesus. 4 or 5 years ago, there was a big survey done looking at wider society and the attitudes that they had to Christianity. And one of the interesting statistics they found there was that on average, if you talk to 5 people about Jesus, one of them will go away wanting to know more. If we bought a lottery ticket each week and we knew that on average every 5th ticket would land us the jackpot, I think we'd all be out there buying lottery tickets, wouldn't we? I know I would. And without being flippant about it, this is far more important than a lottery win, isn't it? Many of us reported during the first lockdown that we were actually getting to know our neighbours better. As we were going out for walks, we were bumping into them, we were chatting and we were building relationship. For us personally, it led to Sue organising a socially distanced cup of tea at the end of our drives for VE Day. And it was so well received, the neighbours said, wow, this is brilliant, let's do a barbecue each month. So we left them to organise that, but that didn't happen. But it did mean that come Christmas, we were able to put together an event, invite the neighbours to it. We're all out on our drives. We had some carols playing. We had mulled wine. We had mince pies. And we just chatted and continued to build relationship and allowed the words of the carols to tell the true story of Christmas and to point to the hope that we had in Jesus. And that was really good. And again, it was very well received. I have to say that life has got busy again in 2021. And that we haven't been able to, it's 22 now, but 2021, we didn't see that continue and go on. Although, as I said, I mentioned this to Dave on Friday, he said, well, are you still praying for them? Have you still got a relationship with them? And we do. And that's what it's about. But there were opportunities there during the lockdown. Many years ago, at the end of my first year at university, I had a 10-week work placement with the company that was sponsoring me, and it must have been halfway through that time, if not later on, that it came out in conversation that I was a Christian. And the way it came out and the way I reacted to it and things, I felt guilty that I hadn't stood up for Jesus, that it wasn't bringing glory to him, and was guilty about that. And so leading up to the end of my second year, when I was going to be doing a whole year out in industry working for the company that's sponsoring me, I was actually praying, Lord, I want opportunity to share my faith. I want to speak boldly. I want to bring glory to your name in the way that I do it. And within the first hour of being in that work placement, it came up in conversation that I was a Christian and I was able to talk a little bit about my faith. All the way through that year when we were shooting the breeze rather than talking about work, people would actually say, you're a Christian, aren't you, Dave? You've probably got an interesting perspective on this, whatever we were discussing. And so I was able to bring in some things of my faith on situations and stuff that was going on. And I can't say to you that I could point to people and say they became Christians out of that. But I really do believe that I was sharing my faith, I was standing up for Jesus, I was showing what a Christian was. A bit like Margaret talked about, the calmness in the situation with Tony when it was difficult led somebody to say, hang on a minute, are you a Christian? And so that lesson I learned all those years ago is something I need to keep relearning. But I really do believe that if we intentionally ask the Lord, who are you putting on my heart, Lord? What do you want me to say to him? And then we connect and we obey the promptings of the Spirit. We will be surprised who Jesus puts across our path and how he draws them to him. You know, like Peter's doing with this couple that they're walking with. He sees an opportunity there. He's praying. He's looking for a chance, promptings of the Spirit to speak to him. And I really think that there's, you know, despite the barriers we feel, if we're intentional about it and we're praying about it, God will give us opportunities to share our faith with our friends, our neighbours, our family, and our work colleagues. Thank you.
Whenever I hear something like this, I think there's two groups of people. There are those that are really, really good about talking about their faith, and there's people like me who are not. And I think you fall into one of the two camps for whatever the reasons behind it. So actually what I want you to do to finish off is in your pairs that you were in before, or ish, you know which one you are. You know whether you're the sort of person who can very easily talk about faith and talk about things, and you know if you're not. And I want you to just pray for each other that there'll be some opportunity over the next couple of weeks where you are the right person in the right place at the right time, and that you won't suffer from hindsight. I'm really good at hindsight. Oh, I could have prayed for somebody there, or I could have said something there, or I could have whatever, and asked for foresight, I think. I don't know whether that's like getting into magic or etc., but actually the Holy Spirit prompting you sort of thing. Not big, doesn't have to be something big. It just has to be something where you know that you've stepped a little bit out of your comfort zone. Not a giant leap, just a little bit out. So you're going to pray, bearing in mind knowing who you, what you are, and ask the other person to pray for an opportunity or just even a tiny that you're going to be the right person in the right place with the right thing to say, that opportunity. And then as soon as you're finished, we'll have tea and coffee. There might just be a little hiatus while people are praying for each other, but then we'll go and have tea and coffee. Okay? So pray, knowing which you are.